The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. We've got three podcasts: Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Recent Investing Secrets, all at cashflowninja.com. And you could sign up for our monthly newsletter, the best cashflow niches newsletter, in which we share one brand new, well-researched cashflow niche with our subscribers. And you can join our mastermind, Cashflow Nirvana, if you're a business owner or investor looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, also at cashflowninja.com. I've got a fantastic show for you today. Very, very excited about today's show. I'm joined by Taylor Costa Van Putten. He's with Braeburn Whiskey. And we're going to look at the asset class and the specific niche of fine Scottish whiskey. I've been researching and learning a lot about this asset class and this specific niche. And I think our listeners and viewers are going to find it extremely valuable. Taylor, great to see you.
MC, thanks for having me. I'm excited. You're excited about Scotch whiskey as an investment.
Yeah, very, very excited to learn more about this very, very interesting asset class. But before we jump into the asset class, for our viewers and our listeners out there, can you share a little bit about your background and journey and how you got into fine Scotch whiskey?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of bouncing around for me. I've had a lot of professional experience in my life. 15 years or so in various sales, client services, operations, management roles and positions. And, you know, in the last 6-7 years or so, finally was able to work my way into financial services as I'd long been pursuing. Worked for a big wirehouse, global name, Fortune 500 company. Learned a lot there and eventually was asked to work as a financial advisor and planner. And as luck would have it, I met a beautiful woman across the country, and turns of events brought us back east to New York City, where I found myself needing to look to new horizons and take on new opportunities. I got into alternative assets here, working in fine art investments. And after a little bit of time, this came across my desk. The opportunity to offer Scotch whiskey as an investment to Americans for really the first time was extremely attractive to me, given I'm a very large percentage Scottish, and I'm just excited to be able to offer it to the world at this point.
Fantastic. So let's dive into fine Scottish whiskey. So what's going on in that world? What does that market look like, that asset class, and why are investors very, very interested in it?
A good question. Are you a Scotch whiskey guy or a whiskey guy at all, MC?
Yeah, I do appreciate it.
Okay. Well, how long have you been an appreciator of Scotch whiskey? How long have you been enjoying that in your life?
I would say probably it's been like the last 5 years, not then when I was younger. So probably, you know, as I hit my 40s around there, I started becoming interested in learning more about it.
Okay. Very common. And in the last 5 years or so, with all these changes in the world, people's hobbies have absolutely shifted into spirits and Scotch whiskey in particular. But what's really impressive to me about Scotch whiskey is, even though there's been a lot of attention in it the last couple of years, as both a beverage, a spirit, but also as an investment, you know, this is not an industry or liquid that's about hype. Scotch whiskey has been distilled in Scotland for well over 500 years. So it's nothing new. It's been a regulated spirit in the United Kingdom, something that's been taxed and monitored by His Majesty's revenues and collections for 200 years plus now. So Scotch whiskey has been around, and people have been appreciators of Scotch whiskey, just like you, for hundreds of years now. So nothing new to the world. But what has changed a lot for Scotch whiskey in the last several decades is it's gone from something that people appreciate, a premium, beautiful liquid, to in the last 50 years or so, it in some ways becoming a luxury item, where we now see bottles of the stuff go for thousands, even tens or hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of dollars. Now, that's not the area where we primarily deal in, but it's been one of the major changes that have brought Scotch whiskey to the fore of people's minds as an investment in the last couple of decades or so, as something that's very clear that people place a lot of value into. And where there's value, there's generally profit to be made. And that's where we come in.
What I've kind of seen, what I see to be similar to other commodities is there's a lot of energy, resources, and time investment in this, which then leads to the value. Like if I have to think of, you know, and a lot of folks in our network are familiar and they do invest in gold and silver. And if you look at those operations too, there's a lot of energy involved there. I mean, you gotta get it out of the ground, and you have to mine it, and then obviously there's resources involved in refining it and melting it, and I mean the whole process, which then leads to the value of it, because you can only mine so much per year. It takes a certain time from, you know, when it's mined out of the ground to when somebody can buy it in the form of a Krugerrand or an American Eagle. And I kind of see a lot of similarities there, that there's a lot of energy involved in just creating it and making it. And then there's a lot of resources needed after, you know, you've made it, just to store and warehouse it and have it age properly and so forth. And then obviously there's a time factor in it too. Can you speak to that part of the business and the industry itself?
Yeah, Scotch whiskey is absolutely a commodity. I think when most people think commodities, they think of massive scale industrial products or inputs, and Scotch whiskey has some of those elements. It has some elements of artisanal production. It is a beautiful, unique liquid every time it comes out of the still. But it is a commodity made of commodities. And something that surprises a lot of people is, although whiskeys are made in many different kinds of ways around the world, when you look at Scotch single malt whiskey, it's really only three ingredients, three primary commodities. It is water, barley, and yeast, plus some energy. So these three magic ingredients come together in thousands of different secret recipes all around Scotland to make many, many thousands of different kinds of expressions, and no two are exactly alike. So yes, absolutely. It's a product that, because it has all of these industrial inputs, these basic commodities creating it, it will ride inflation up and can be used as a hedge. But certain elements of it, the fact that every single market or every single distillery, every bottle, every brand is a different product, also lends in some very special properties that can help with appreciation.
Yeah, so there's an art form involved here too. Obviously, the science of making it, but a huge art form. So I could see the parallels. What attracted you to this too, being in fine art and now coming over, because you know, these folks are artists making it. You had mentioned, besides the fact that it's a tangible asset, it's a commodity. So yeah, it's a great hedge with inflation. What are some of the other things that really attract folks to this as an investment class?
Yeah, really the X factor with Scotch whiskey versus almost everything else is the maturation process. And this is pretty unique to scotch and other spirits that go into barrels and age and mature. So as any scotch aficionado will know, when scotch whiskey is distilled, it's a beautiful, clear liquid that goes into a wooden barrel where it's got to rest for at least 3 years, but sometimes as many as 10, 15, 20, 30 plus years. So scotch whiskey actually, as it sits in the barrel, takes on the flavors, the characteristics, the complexities, and the nuances of the wood and the time. So it actually becomes a different, better, more desirable product every single day that it's in the barrel. And that's the X factor with scotch whiskey. You cannot replace time, period, both from a chemical perspective, but also from a marketing perspective. At the end of the day, a scotch whiskey fan is always going to pay more for an 18-year-old whiskey than they are for a 12-year-old. That's just the nature of the scarcity and the supply and demand of it. So there's no wasting time. If you are an investor that has excess liquidity and some time, this is something that can help you convert cash and capital into outsized return, potential appreciation, as long as you have the time, as much time as you want and as you need, which is another attractive element of the asset class. You control when you exit.
Yeah, and I think at the time too, one of the reasons why this has really piqued my interest, and I've been looking into this and researching this quite a bit, is just to zoom out for a second here. If you think big picture in the world that we're currently living in, where we are at in economic cycles, financial cycles, banking cycles, empire cycles, I mean, throw your cycle in there. A lot of the world has been kind of based on, you know, a lot of kind of equities, bonds, a lot of paper kind of wealth, right? Especially derivatives. And I've seen a lot of incredibly sophisticated investors over the last 5 years move from the paper asset world, which, you know, equities, bonds, derivatives, and so forth, to a lot of physical stuff. And this kind of fits in perfect with that kind of hypothesis, you know, where they've moved into land, they've moved into gold and silver, they've moved into fine art. And now, of course, you know, fine Scottish whiskey falls into this too, as along with, you know, fine wines and so forth. But it's all physical stuff that you can touch, you can feel, and, you know, in this case, even in, enjoy it. So it's interesting to see that, yeah, there's a lot of very, very sophisticated investors moving towards this physical world and investing in more physical, tangible things. And I would, you know, I would also share that one of the things with whiskey too, because there's, you know, there's so much time involved. Well, you can't rush the process, right? You can't just, there's only a certain bandwidth for creation of it every single year. And therefore, there is a limited supply for especially a lot of the collector's type of whiskeys that's out there, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you know, from talking to a lot of great minds in investing and successful investors, I know from being on the phone with people all day, from reading industry news, anybody who has wealth to protect right now knows that it's extremely intelligent to have some of that in real tangible assets. If you have capital, you need to own capital. You need to own things as a store of value, something that people want and are likely to always want as a way to hedge your bets against the ups and downs, the volatility of these liquid traditional markets, stocks, bonds, and some of the newer entrants like crypto out there. So a value store, a way for you to protect your wealth, is absolutely one of the main uses of Scotch whiskey casks as a part of a portfolio. Yeah, at the end of the day, time is irreplaceable. Time is the irreplaceable X factor ingredient in Scotch whiskey. Scotch whiskey can't even be called Scotch whiskey until it's 3 years old, at least. And to most Scotch whiskey aficionados, that's baby whiskey. They're not going to drink that. Realistically, most whiskey guys are going to kind of start their whiskey experience at the 12 plus year olds, eventually graduate to the 15, 18, 21, 25 year olds. You'll find some wonderful 25 plus year olds out there. One of the oldest expressions ever put on the market from Macallan and a few others have now exceeded 70 plus years old. Extremely rare stuff. We're talking multi-millions of dollars on the shelves, one of a kind. So time is absolutely you know, a necessary ingredient for you to be able to get there when it comes to appreciation time and compounding returns.
I want to take a moment to share something very important right now. Are you trying to figure out how to protect your savings from the banking collapse, which has already started, and the coming financial crisis? Most banks will fail. Deposits that are not insured by the FDIC will be lost, and there will be bank bail-ins. And this collapse in the banking system will lead to chaos in the financial system. Banks also provide loans to real estate investors. So what do you think is going to happen to lending in the event of a banking and a financial crisis? You can be proactive and position your savings to protect it and also have access to it to use it to buy discounted assets by positioning it in your own banking system through the infinite banking concept strategy. Producers Wealth has put together a presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com where you will learn how to position capital outside of the banking system and the Wall Street casino, just like the ultra wealthy, to protect it and create a pool of tax-free liquid capital to capitalize on the massive opportunity to buy discounted assets, which is coming. You can access the presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. What has the performance been overall just off fine Scottish whiskey over time?
It's a good question. And, you know, one exercise that people can do on their own is go online or go to your local spirit store and just look on the shelves. And you can look at individual brands and compare them latitudinally. So you can say, look at X brand's 12-year-old and note the price. And then look at X brand's 18-year-old and note the price. And you can pull up on your phone a IRR, internal rate of return calculator. Tell it how many years you've got, what's the difference in price, and it's going to let you know exactly how much that liquid has appreciated in value in that short time period. And you can repeat this over and over and over across different brands, different shelves, upper shelf stuff, mid shelf, lower shelf. You're going to see some pretty impressive consistency in that on the low end, Scotch whiskey, it tends to appreciate around 7 to 12% annualized year over year over year. In the mid end, 12 to 18% is not unheard of. On the high end, some whiskeys will easily do 18 to 30 plus percent on an annualized basis, sometimes for decades. Now, we track pretty closely a massive amount of data in the barrel market because it's a fairly hard to penetrate market. Data obviously helps people to make informed and intelligent investing decisions. So we collect a huge amount of data, and our data lines up pretty well with the middle of that range as well. We've also, as a business, helped people actually make these investments and sell their barrels, basically doing full round trips. We have sold barrels to investors. Those investors have then held them for several years in warehouses as required by law. And then those investors eventually let us know that they wanted to exit their investments to liquidate and take their profits. And we've done that now hundreds of times for hundreds of investors. Our median return is around 12.5% annualized net of fees. Our average return is around 31% annualized net of fees. And those numbers are compounding annually multiple years. Realistically, the experience for the average person is going to be probably somewhere in the middle. But the most important thing you can do for yourself is to make sure you're working with strong brands, strong barrels, and you must get your whiskey at a smart price. It's any good investment at a bad price, it's not going to get you anywhere.
Yep. You make money on the buy.
Absolutely.
As with any other investment. So you've mentioned that there's whiskeys around the world, right? We've got Scottish whiskey, we've got Irish whiskey, American whiskey, Canadian whiskey, Japanese whiskey, and so forth. What was it specific that attracted you to the fine Scottish whiskey?
Scotch whiskey is a global juggernaut. In America, let's be honest, we're not going to beat around the bush for anybody. American whiskeys rule here in terms of sales, volume, appreciation.
Yep.
So much bourbon and American whiskey gets sold. Tens of billions of dollars in America alone. Americans love American whiskey. However, what a lot of people that I talk to don't realize is that globally, Scotch whiskey is king. It's king of the roost. So around the world, $8 billion of Scotch whiskey goes to over 180 different countries every single year. And that number should be continuing to expand significantly. It's a premium beverage. It's widely considered to be a luxury good. And generally, we know that luxury goods tend to buck economic trends, especially as the globally wealthy continue to get extraordinarily rich. So we're betting on rich people getting richer. Always a good idea.
Yep.
But, you know, my own personal heritage, but the attractiveness of this investment is what brought me here. So I worked as a financial advisor and planner for some years, as well as a securities broker for a big wirehouse. And once or twice a year, every single year, I would be talking to some high net worth investor about what they've been doing with their money, where what they have been, what their plays have been. And without fail, a couple of times a year, some guy would, you know, wink at me and say, oh, I bought this barrel of Scotch whiskey 20 years ago and I made a killing on it. And that happened so regularly. You know, when I looked into it, it was just impossible for Americans to get their hand on. So this guy obviously had some backroom connections. But now it's more available than it ever has been through firms like mine, brokers, intermediaries, and dealers who've made this asset class available to Americans really for the first time in history.
So within the asset class of fine Scottish whiskies, what are some of the things or some of the whiskies that can be invested in? And what are the options for investors?
Well, there's two classes of the overall market. You know, there's the bottle market, which is a expansive market, contains collectibles and, bottles you can find off the shelf, special editions. It's huge. Many tens of thousands of bottles come out every single year. Now, I can't speak in great detail to that because it's just not where my firm operates. We deal in the barrels, which is the underlying commodity, so to speak, that will eventually get put into bottles. Now, bottles of Scotch whiskey, along with a lot of other collectibles, have exploded in value in the last couple of years. You're probably familiar with the Knight Frank Index. I think in the last 5 to 10 years alone, Scotch whiskey bottles, rare collectible, the most expensive collectible bottle of Scotch whiskey, have increased in value to like 500%. Over a 5 to 10 year period. They had a slight decline last year, so that means we might have hit a top, but it's been a bit of a run up, bit of a hype there. So it's not to say there cannot be money to be made, but you got to be really smart, and obviously you've got to be buying them at the right price. Now, the area that my firm and I deal in is barrels, casks of Scotch whiskey, as most Europeans will call it. And the cask market is also huge. There are 147 different distilleries in Scotland actively producing liquid. The market is vast. It is candidly very hard to get a barrel of Scotch whiskey because the powers that be, the distilleries, the bottlers, the other investors that have their hands on these things don't really want to give them up because they make a lot of money on them. So they hoard them pretty tightly. However, every once in a while, barrels are able to circulate to be allowed into the secondary market for normal investors to be able to get their hands on. So it's a huge world in that secondary market. Now, our area, Braeburn Whiskey's foundational model inside the entire market, is we really operate primarily as a dealer. We here are targeting growth investors in America, accredited investors, people who need that sophisticated hedge or a tangible store of value, who are also using it for growth, hopefully to outperform traditional assets and equities. So that's our target. And because we are targeting growth investors here, we are offering growth portfolios. Effectively, the data says that to make outsized returns, you want to focus on a pretty narrow niche inside of Scotch whiskey barrels. So we offer primarily young or brand new barrels, meaning barrels of whiskey that are anywhere from zero to a few years old. They're young. They still need to mature for many years before they're viable. Now, the reason for that is because when you can buy something at its bare bottom price, basically its IPO price, you have all that upside and that time, right? Price is important. Yep. But the second element that's important for our model and for people that are coming here is relatively young distilleries, because that's another element of the price action on barrels. Young distilleries, not these global mega giants that have already chiseled out their kingdoms and their market share. Young distilleries who are getting started generally within the last 10 years or who are in that getting started phase are the ones that are actively building their market, building their brand value, and increasing the value in consumers' minds and the perception of their liquid. So that means that the liquid can significantly increase in value greater than the average barrel out there. So that's what we're doing. Young barrels from young distilleries is what the data has told us is the highest likelihood to see outsized capital appreciation and value accretion over the years.
Taylor, what are the liquidity expectations that investors should have of this asset class in this specific niche?
Good question. You know, it's a liquid in reality, liquid gold, but because there's no centralized market for Scotch whiskey, there's no NASDAQ, there's no big boards, we have to sort of consider this a quasi-illiquid investment, meaning you can't sell it at the click of a button. So generally, we would really only recommend this for people with certain levels of capital or that can commit certain dollar amounts. Generally, the entry point to getting into Scotch whiskey when working with us is going to be about a $50,000 initial allocation, which most people will continue to grow over time. But we discuss that strategy on a one-by-one basis. So that's generally the entry point, $50,000 US. We would probably suggest that that means you should have at least $100,000 in cash available to you, just so that you're not stretching your emergency fund or your liquidity too thin. But you make that determination as to how comfortable you are with a $50,000 investment, given your other liquidities and obligations.
And just to be clear too, this is an investment vehicle for accredited investors, correct?
Correct. The only way to get this past the SEC was via a Regulation D, 506C, private placement, which is a lot of numbers and letters. It basically just means that we can offer this to what the SEC considers to be sophisticated or experienced investors. There are a couple of definitions that will get you, qualified as an accredited investor. Most of the people that come to us are going to meet that requirement through one of three things. Either you individually are earning $200,000 or more in income per year, or you and a spouse are jointly earning $300,000 in income per year, or you have a net worth of $1 million or more outside of your primary residence. So a lot of people who are real estate investors or business owners or just high earning professionals, whether you know it or not, you might be an accredited investor. We'll help you figure that out. If you're not sure, give me a call and we'll work it out together.
Taylor, can you walk me through the exit year for investors in this asset class and this niche? Do you have to be involved in bottling? Are you selling it? Like, how involved does an investor need to be?
Really good question. Investment's not a good investment unless you can actually extract your value and your appreciation out of it, right? So we are there as a full service investment manager, full spectrum from top to bottom. We will help you acquire your cask. We will help you maintain and monitor it, store it in a bonded warehouse. And if you want us to, we will help you sell it. And you don't have to be involved with putting liquid into bottles. Probably 95% of the people that come to us don't get involved with that. It's just not for anybody that doesn't have industrial connections, distribution channels, bottling plants. It's not for you. So most people will simply sell these barrels on to the next owner, investor, or acquirer. And that's how you extract your value and your appreciation out of it. Now, just in case anybody's curious, the secondary market for barrels is actually pretty deep, which is why it's easy for us to liquidate barrels when people ask us to. Like I mentioned earlier, we've done it hundreds of times already with great success. But the three main parties that are interested in buying these barrels off of you as an investor are A, if it's a relatively young barrel, it's probably going to go to another investor. whether that's an internal investor, somebody who's in our network, thousands of people across the world. We work with other brokers who want to buy barrels for themselves or their clients. When we want to sell a barrel to another investor, it's generally gone within a couple of hours. So that's a really simple way to exit. The next party is eventually these distilleries that we work with are going to want to buy these barrels back because they can make a ton of money off of them by putting them into bottles. So that is one option, generally considered to be a backstop, but it's always there in the background. We'll help you explore it if it makes the most sense financially. And then lastly, a huge part of the barrel market is the world of independent bottlers. And I don't know in your whiskey journey, MC, if you've gotten into independent bottlings yet. It's eventually where most people graduate to. But independent bottlers do billions of dollars in business every single year. They actually put 58% of the expressions of liquid out on the shelves. So they're an important part of the entire Scotch whiskey ecosystem. Now, basically, an independent bottler is a company that does not produce liquid. Their job is to take barrels of Scotch whiskey, put them in bottles, market them, and get them in front of consumers. And they do that extremely well. Some of the biggest names in Scotch whiskey in the world are independent bottling companies that many Scotch whiskey aficionados know and love. They are blenders. Some of them are single malt bottlers. But they're a tour de force. And the fact of the matter is, they need barrels of whiskey, otherwise they don't have a business. So you've got a bit of a captive audience, and naturally they're always needing to acquire whiskey at its fair market value so that they can turn a profit and bring home their revenues. But with all three of these parties, again, generally when people let us know it's time to liquidate, we can have it done within a couple of hours to sometimes a few days if it's an extremely expensive liquid cask.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life Settlements Investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. If you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements. The password to access that webinar is Penumbra, all lowercase. So for our listeners and for our viewers, this is a growth strategy, right? So this is not a cash flow. This is not an investment that kicks off income every single month. This is something that is part of your, if you have a holistic wealth strategy and you have many moving different parts and you're well diversified, this is the area for growth that you're positioning capital for, that in a number of years, I mean, if you get in that early on a barrel, you know, it could be what, 10, 15, 20 years. What is kind of the exit strategy behind it around about that time frame, right?
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. So people generally come here because they are, you know, in equities and bonds, maybe some crypto. People have been building up these liquid and traditional asset portfolios for years now because it's been lucrative. But really people are coming to me because they're seeing the writing on the wall that the next 10 years is probably going to be very different from the last 10 years. And so they use real tangible assets, things like whiskey, other tangibles as a hedge, something to store value, to be a cornerstone, an anchor of their portfolio. That's not going to shoot up and down in value on a daily basis. They're illiquid alternatives. They don't quote every single day. So yes, they're absolutely a hedge and a value store strategy, but also the capital appreciation naturally is the main motivating factor for holding and eventually selling. Now, as far as liquidation goes, what's nice about this investment vehicle, at least the way that we structure it, is investors are 100% in control of their own timelines and their destinies. And you can buy a barrel of whiskey. Anybody that talks to me and goes through suitability interviews going to be asked the same question. You know, MC, this is a illiquid, real tangible asset, you really should be in this for at least 5 years. If not, it's not appropriate for you. So that's sort of our floor when we're considering who can and should be benefiting from this investment vehicle, 5 years. Now, people come to us every single day because whiskey is a beautiful spirit that can be used as gifts and milestone and markers for family members and loved ones. Some people tell us that they are buying these barrels to pay their kids' college off in 20 years. Some people are buying them because they want to have a graduation gift eventually, something that's going to grow up every single year with their kids. Sometimes it's you need bottles for the wedding when they're 25 or 30. So really, a lot of people use this as a very, very long-term hedge. If you can last that long, the compounding returns and the downside protection can really, really add up. For me, that's my time horizon. I consider my barrel investments to be about a 25-year time horizon.
What goes into, so obviously this is for accredited investors, and they get go through a suitability call with you, and then they you obviously walk them through their options. They eventually decide, okay, I want to allocate some capital to this specific barrel, or maybe a couple, you know, a couple of barrels. How does it work? Because there's a certain way that the barrels have to be stored as well, right? And this is something that is part of the service that you're offering. Can you speak to that too? It's just interesting to hear how that part of it works too on the back end.
The nice thing about Scotch whiskey as an investment vehicle is it's extremely hands off. Realistically, the best thing that you can do for this investment is totally forget about it. You hear all the time in the news about these record setting barrels of Scotch whiskey, $1 million, $60 million. They're basically the barn finds of whiskey, where somebody totally forgot they had their name on this barrel, and now you've got this incredible life-changing asset on your hand 30 years later. So if you can do that, I'd highly recommend it. But we take care of everything. If you're going to be working with any institution, entity in this field, you probably want to make sure that they're folks that are going to take you through the full cycle, because a barrel of Scotch whiskey is a real object, and you need to treat it well. There's a great saying in Scotland, do right by the whiskey and the whiskey will do right by you, which we firmly believe in. But you got to maintain it. You got to take care of it. It's going to be held in a government bonded, secured, monitored warehouse in Scotland, as is required of every barrel, every drop of Scotch whiskey by UK law. Every year it's going to be monitored, reviewed, make sure it's maturing well. There's no risk of it turning poorly, and to make sure that we're gauging it to determine how much alcohol is in there, that it is meeting all the requirements that's necessary for it to be called Scotch whiskey. So it's a very in-depth process, and that's why we work very closely with the warehouse keepers. But just so it's very clear, the investor, at least when they're working with us, the investor's name is going to be effectively directly registered to every single barrel that they own. So they're the owners. Nothing can happen to that barrel without their express written consent. Now, eventually, that investor is probably going to want to sell that barrel on. They can do that by asking for our help. We'll coordinate it together with the warehouse and their express written consent. And it's sold. Generally, we can sell barrels anywhere from a couple of hours to can take a week or two if it's a super, super luxe, multi-hundred-thousand-dollar, multi-million-dollar barrel. Can take a little bit of time to find the right buyer, but they're relatively liquid assets, so it's easy to move them on to the next party in the chain.
From a due diligence standpoint for investors, what are some of the things that they should be considering?
I think it's really clear to anybody that has ever been in a spirit store that Scotch whiskey, really other spirits as well, when you put it in a barrel and it matures, it becomes more valuable and costly as time goes on. That much is really, really clear, in my opinion. And it's easy to see that by just doing the math on the shelves. What's extremely important, because this is an asset that is domiciled offshore, because you can't see it, you're not going to hold it in your hands, you need to make sure that you're working with the right partners. And there are a handful of other firms that do something similar to what we do around the world. But you want to make sure you're comfortable and confident in the model and who you're working with. make sure you can see a track record, make sure that they are fully compliant with local regulations. The whiskey market is not regulated in the same way that NASDAQ or the NYSE is, or the bond market. So looking for firms that have voluntarily subjected themselves to oversight by third parties can help you to make sure that you're working with high integrity people. And that's what we've done. Understanding the basic foundational considerations, risks, rewards, considerations on this asset class are important. The risks of any real tangible asset, just like any other investment out there, are it can go down in value. That's possible. We don't think it's very likely for this investment, but it's always possible. It is possible for something terrible to happen to a barrel of whiskey. A meteor could hit the warehouse. We carry insurance on every single barrel, so we've got you covered there. But you definitely want to make sure if you're working with somebody else that that is taken care of, because a catastrophic event can and does ruin investments for people in real assets. But realistically, you know, just making sure you're comfortable, confident, you have all the information, you feel like somebody's making a recommendation that's actually in your best interest. And if you can find third party verifications that the people and the firms that you're working with are good people, and especially if they're whiskey people, and you probably find yourself a good deal.
Do you guys work with self-directed IRAs? That's a frequently asked question that folks might have too.
Yes, it is possible. We do not directly integrate with any of the custodians out there, meaning they're not plugged into our systems. But gotcha. If you work with an IRA that allows you to write a check, that allows you to put an investment in the name of your self-directed IRA trust, or if you use a corporate structure, we can work around that. We've consulted with the lawyers. They're comfortable with us allowing that. Obviously, check with a tax advisor as to whether you are allowed to do that, as I'm not a licensed tax advisor. But yes, we can work with that. We also work with people. Most sophisticated investors have often corporate entities for their investments for liability and tax reasons. We can work with trusts. A lot of people will come to us because maybe they want to have some barrels in their kids' names or their grandkids' names. And we can, and often we'll do UTMA, UGMA structures. So any investment ownership structure you can think of, we can work with, as long as the registered owners are count as accredited, which we'll help you figure out.
I want to acknowledge one of our sponsors. Are you ready to ride the wave of success in the booming car wash industry? Tommy's Express Car Wash is the cutting-edge brand that is revolutionizing the way we clean vehicles. Demand for top-notch, state-of-the-art tunnel car wash is skyrocketing. Institutions are diving in headfirst, and the real asset investor is already a step ahead. They have a world-class operations team, and they're building a portfolio of Tommy's Express car washes that's on track to become one of the largest privately owned car wash portfolios in the United States. The margins on a stabilized Tommy's Express car wash are incredible, and accredited investors have the chance to join them on their adventure. Dave Zook, the founder and CEO of The Real Asset Investor, and his team are thrilled to share opportunities like Tommy's Car Wash with accredited investors that boost your cash flow, unlocks massive tax benefits, and get you set up for a lucrative exit just a few years from now. To learn more about the opportunities offered by The Real Asset Investor, you can reach out to them at info@therealassetinvestor.com. That's info@therealassetinvestor.com. Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool strategy that you shared, that there's some of your clients that have already bought, barrels for their children and their children's names. Because obviously you start that very young. You've got, 20, 25, 25 years perhaps before you can exit. And I mean, think of the growth that you would have achieved over 20 to 25 years. So that's a very, very cool strategy and a little bit of legacy into it as well, right?
Absolutely. You can have a barrel that grows up with your kid, you know, their teenage years, their middle-aged years, you know, whiskey becomes insanely rare after you reach the 30-year-old point. And so if you can do that for your kid, and they have a barrel with some of the rarest bottles on earth, that can be a huge, huge deal if they can grow up together with it.
Now, on a personal level, I'm always interested to hear what wealthy and successful people are studying and learning about. And you're in a very unique industry. What are you studying and learning these days?
Wow, that's a great question. I am doing a lot of reading. I'm getting back into some fiction, to be honest with you. I've done a lot of personal development and influencing reading over the last couple of years, given my work in business development. But I'm trying to use my imagination a little bit more these days, because I think that if you can be imaginative, just like you and your audience knows, that's how you're going to find those creative niches and the new things that nobody's ever thought of before. And you need to be a little bit imaginative to go off the beaten path into non-traditional assets, period. So, that's what I'm trying to flex, is my creative muscles a little bit more day to day.
Fantastic. And now our show, we talk a lot about business. We talk about investing. We talk about alternative assets, but it's also about legacy and leaving something for the next generation. So I always ask our first-time guests, if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and you are only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Great question. I think the guiding force that's always taken me forward in life has been my desire for independence, to be self-actualized, and to make my own way. And, you know, if I had to leave a legacy for next of kin or organizations, I'd want to always stress that ability. And independence comes from knowledge. And discipline, in my opinion, and finding ways to help people empower themselves through finances has always been my goal. So I'd really like to make a way to share that with the world if I could. Integrity is extremely important to me personally and professionally, doing the right thing for everybody that I work with. Sometimes it means saying no to people for whom this is not right, and that can be a necessity. And if I had to come up with a third, I would say that joyfulness is probably something that I'd want to leave for the world. You know, in the midst of everything, finding ways to appreciate the beauty inherent in everything that we do. That's one of the reasons why I really enjoy my job, is because Scotch whiskey is a really beautiful creation. You know, this room that we've built here, and this is not a fake background, by the way.
Yeah.
Anybody in the general New York, New Jersey area, I would cordially like to invite to come by the Whiskey Vault in Midtown Manhattan on 57th Street. Give me a call and we'll organize a visit. But whiskey is a place to build community and to experience joy. And sharing that with the world is something that is always brought people closer to and gotten people interested in what we do. So joyfulness. If I can share that a little bit, I will.
Awesome. Where can listeners and viewers that are accredited investors, and even those that are not, you guys have a ton of resources and educational stuff if they just want to learn about you, but where can folks touch base? Where can they follow you? Where can they look at everything that you guys are involved with?
Yeah, we're on all the major social media platforms. I'm sure we'll get you the link so you can put them up on your pages, MC. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to meet you directly. Taylor Costa Van Putten, my full name. Vice President of Business Development here, Head of Sales and Distribution in the United States. Find us on YouTube. Our YouTube channel's got a rich tapestry of content that we've been creating for years and years, both English and Spanish. Check us out. You can see we've been doing this for a long time. We are on Instagram, especially creating some great content here in the United States now that we're here. But all the major platforms, we are here and we'd love to make your acquaintance. If you're not an accredited investor, you want to chat, you're welcome to give me a call. I'm sure you probably know friends or family that are a good fit, and I can give you a little bit of a direction on where to go with your investments, even if you can't do what we do here, thanks to the SEC's rules. I'll get to the links, MC.
And the website that you guys have?
Rayburnwhiskey.com. From there, you can learn a little bit about us, the asset class, how things work. You can put in your application, which will trigger me to reach out to you and see if you're eligible and a good fit for what we do. We'll work together on that. It is a place to read and watch testimonials. We've got half a dozen clients around the world that have decided to go on video and say they've had a great time with us. Check out the website. It's our home base.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us and just sharing all of your knowledge and insights on this extremely interesting asset class and niche. Appreciate it.
Really glad that you're able to bring this to your audience. I think it's super exciting. Anybody that ever looks at it lets me know it's just such a no-brainer. It seems so obvious, but you also never think to look under the hood. Scotch whiskey's been a part of the global tapestry for hundreds of years, but finally it's available for you and your wallet. So really appreciate you having me, MC. If you're in New York, come on by. I'd like to pour you a couple of great drams that I think you'll enjoy.
Fantastic. Thank you so much again. Thank you to our listeners and viewers for once again spending your most valuable resource, your time, with me on the show. Everything at Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.